news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
On Tuesday, the Supreme Court hears two cases that could kill what's left of the Voting Rights Act. Vox.com's Ian Millhiser explains.
The argument in these two cases on Tuesday, it's a Brnovich v. Democratic National Committee and Arizona Republican Party v. Democratic National Committee are the two cases. And these cases could really stick the dagger in the wall. I mean, I don't think that the Supreme Court is going to say that the Voting Rights Act is unconstitutional, but I think it is fairly likely to do is to water down the Voting Rights Act so much that it just becomes meaningless. You know, it becomes almost impossible to win a voting rights case. And then states will be free to engage in really widespread racist voter discrimination in order to prevent black people from voting, to prevent brown people from voting. And of course, really what's going on here is to prevent Democrats.
So the laws concern strict requirements to vote in a specific precinct and who can handle the ballots. Voting rights advocates fear that the court's conservative majority could set new and stricter voting precedents. After Donald Trump's repeated baseless claims of voter fraud after the 2020 elections, state lawmakers have carried over or introduced at least 253 bills to restrict voting access in 43 states. Although the cases are being heard on Tuesday, a decision isn't expected until probably June. FBI Director Christopher Wray, testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee Tuesday morning on the Bureau's response to various threats after the January 6th insurrection. More officials will testify Wednesday, including the commanding general of the D.C. National Guard, along with several civilian officials from the Department of Defense, FBI, and Department of Homeland Security. And then there were three. No, I'm not talking about the third COVID-19 vaccine, that one, you know, from Johnson & Johnson, being approved and beginning to be delivered. Nope. I'm talking about a third woman who's come forward to accuse New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of harassment. In an interview with the New York Times on Monday, Anna Roosh said she met Cuomo at a wedding reception in September of 2019 and that he made unwanted advances, starting with placing his hand on her bare lower back. Roosh said she removed his hand, but Cuomo then placed his hands on her cheeks, on her face, and loudly asked if he could kiss her before she pulled away. It was just last week that two former Cuomo aides accused him of sexual harassment. On Sunday, the governor said in a statement that some of his remarks may have, quote, been misinterpreted as an unwanted flirtation. Huh? New York Attorney General Letitia James is working on selecting an outside investigator to review the allegations. The Biden administration is working to give families separated at the U.S.-Mexico border a chance to reunite in the United States or in their country of origin. The newly confirmed and installed Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said on Monday, quote, if in fact they seek to reunite here in the U.S., we will explore lawful pathways for them to remain in the U.S. and to address the family needs, so we are acting as restoratively as possible. President Biden issued an executive order this month establishing a task force to look into bringing the families back together. Under the former guy, the U.S. separated around 2,800 families in 2018, and around 550 children continued to await reunification. Mayorkas said the Biden administration has brought 105 families together so far. The Senate on Monday confirmed Miguel Cardona, Connecticut's Commissioner of Education, to be President Biden's Secretary of Education. The 45-year-old Cardona has also worked as a teacher, principal, and administrator. Two of his biggest challenges in the job will be guiding schools as they make plans to reopen and managing the government's $1.5 trillion student loan portfolio. During his confirmation hearing, Cardona said he would also focus on the inequities in the country's education system because unless they're tackled head on, he said, they will prevent the potential of this great country. Well, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Monday warned states against rolling back COVID-19 restrictions too soon for fear it could result in yet another resurgence of infections. Dr. Rochelle Walensky said that data suggests recent declines in daily coronavirus cases have, quote, leveled off at a very high number and appear to be stalling at about 70,000 a day. At this level of cases with variants spreading, she said, we stand to completely lose the hard-earned ground we have gained. Again, this warning came as Johnson & Johnson begins shipping the first doses of its coronavirus vaccine, which was just approved for emergency use. The approval added a third vaccine to the campaign to step up inoculations in the U.S. after a decidedly slow start. And this weird bit of news around the vaccine, like everything with the former guy, this is just weird. We're now learning that then President Trump and his first lady quietly received the COVID-19 vaccine in January, just before they left the White House for good. As to why the secrecy? Who knows? Other leaders have publicized their vaccines as a way to encourage Americans to sign up for the shot when it's available to them. And finally, it's done elsewhere. Former French President Nicolas Sarkozy has been sentenced to 3 years in prison for corruption and influence peddling. A French court found him guilty of trying to illegally obtain information from a senior magistrate in 2014 about an ongoing investigation into his campaign finances. Sarkozy was president from 2007 to 2012 and is the first president to be sentenced to jail in France's modern history, but he won't actually see the inside of a jail cell. The court suspended 2 years of the sentence, and the judge said the 66-year-old can serve the rest of the time by wearing an electronic bracelet at home. So much for equal justice under the law. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.